I'm here with Jace Wittig, music director for the award-winning male chorus Chanticleer. Chanticleer will be performing a program called The Siren's Call on Friday, November 2nd at Chenery Auditorium here in Kalamazoo. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
And The Siren's Call, is that the theme of the program?
It is. We decided on this title, it's been actually a couple years ago now. We tried to draw the initial, I guess you could say, point of embarkment was the tale of the sirens from Greek mythology. But we tried to cast a bit wider of a net, I guess you could say, to kind of draw from the themes of temptation and desire and a journey.
And so do you have a few examples of some of those themes of temptation and desire and journey that you're going to have at the program?
Certainly. With any tour program, we always try to showcase the variety and the breadth of the repertoire that we sing in Chanticleer. So, in terms of chronology, the program spans from all the way from Gregorian chant up through pieces that were just written or arranged for us within the past year. But let's see, we have several wonderfully charged madrigals by Gesualdo. We have some Renaissance polyphony by Palestrina and Gabrielli. And then we have several very dramatic pieces at the end of the first half, including, I guess you could say, a rather epic piece by Jaakko Mantajärvi, a favorite composer of ours from Finland. He wrote a piece called Canticum Calamitatis Maritime, which is a song of a maritime disaster. And it's about an 11-minute piece that is a tribute to the people who lost their lives in the sinking of a cruise ship in Estonia in the mid-1990s. That sounds very complicated, I know, but but it's really a very beautiful, moving, dramatic piece. So that's on the first half. And then the second half, we have quite a collection of folk songs from around the world, some music from Ireland, Japan, England, Mexico, the United States, and the program rounds out with our sort of signature blend of jazz and gospel, including a brand new arrangement of a piece called Temptation that's been very popular with audiences so far. It's a Tom Waits song recorded by Diana Krall and arranged for Chanticleer by our friend Vince Peterson.
Interesting. And as a director, how do you really go about putting together these programs, especially with such variety that you have here?
Well, it's really exciting, actually, and it's a challenge, but it's a fun one. You know, I guess the first step for me is to look at texts, and luckily that's been made so much easier with technology and the internet, to research madrigal texts in particular, and then as I said before, just to kind of explore the themes behind the subject, temptation, desire, and a journey around the world. So I start with texts, and then we just try to find music that we think is exceptionally beautiful, we hope.
So do these themes really help the artists with, getting into their performance?
I think so. For us, we perform this program, but by the end of the season, we will have performed this program probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 or 80 times. And it's very good to be able to have a story to follow and also to have texts of quality that are interesting so that the performers can always dig deeper, that there's by performance number 60, there are hopefully still things to ponder in the music and the text.
And talking about texts, Chanticleer is actually, it's supposed to be from the Canterbury Tales.
That's right, the clear singing rooster. When the group was founded in the late 70s, they hadn't really actually settled on a name after their first few rehearsals and meetings, and somebody happened to be reading Chaucer at the time and said, well, this seems rather appropriate for us, given our interest in early music and antiquity.
Right, and it actually means sing clear in French, if I'm right.
And, that's exactly right.
So will the group be singing in different languages?
Oh, many different languages. Let's see here. We have, I should have a total number in mind before I speak to you, but we have Latin, German, Japanese, Spanish, English, all sorts of languages, yes.
And so what is it like for the members of the group to really have to try and finagle these languages, all of these different languages?
It's a challenge, I suppose, for any singer. Being that almost all of them have received undergraduate and graduate education in music as singers, the standard languages we are expected to be proficient in, Italian, Spanish, German, French, Latin. But when we work with other languages that perhaps we don't study as often in this country, we always try to find a native speaker to coach us. And it's actually, it ends up being a lot of fun because we have coaches come into rehearsal and work with us and talk about the nuance and the cadence of the language.
And how did you personally get involved with Chanticleer?
Oh, I wanted to be in Chanticleer for a long time. after I graduated college, I took a couple years. I'm from the Midwest as well. I'm actually from Indiana, and lived there for a couple years before I came out this way. I sang with a group for 5 years before kind of moving on to this role. And as far as the specifics, I got here the way that everybody does, which is through a rather rigorous audition process.
Right. How does that all work out? The auditions.
Well, we have auditions every year, regardless of whether or not there are openings, which usually there are not very many, maybe one or two. And it's sort of a two-step process. You submit a recording first for review by the music director and the assistant music director. And once we've sort of screened through the recordings, we invite somewhere between 6 and 12 people, usually, to come out to San Francisco and spend a weekend here that involves a lot of singing, both for the ensemble, some solo repertoire, and with the ensemble. A lot of reading, a lot of new music that there is thrown their way. So it is certainly an exciting but rather intense process.
Right. And this is actually the 35th anniversary of Chanticleer?
It is our 35th birthday. Hard to believe.
Right. What does it feel like to be a part of this chorus that has survived so long after its founding member has passed on?
Sure. Well, of course, none of the members here that are currently in the ensemble were around when it was founded, obviously. But I will say we think a lot about how lucky we are to be able to continue a clear vision that was begun. I mean, I think it speaks very, very highly of the strength and clarity of vision of the founders that 35 years later, the model is still basically the same. The repertoire has expanded, but certainly includes many of the same composers and styles of music that the group was founded to explore. So we feel very fortunate to be in the position to continue that work.
And the group has gotten a lot of press in the last few years, and rightly so. One thing I found interesting is that just a few years ago, in 2008, the group was actually part of a documentary called The Singing Life. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, it was, we spend a lot of our time actually in education, particularly when we're on tour. We work with high school choirs, college choirs, even adult choirs, anywhere from a small chamber ensemble to a large mass choir of 100 people or more. And it's something that we consider very important to make sure that singing is not just something that happens when you go to choir class for those 2 years in junior high, that it's something that can continue to enrich your life well beyond your years in school. And it was sort of a documentary about what we do in our education program and how it helps people continue their musical journey.
Okay. Anything else that you just wanted to say about the group or the music?
Oh, I suppose not. We're excited to come to Michigan. It's been a little while, so we're excited to be back there, and hopefully I'll see you there.
All right. Thanks for talking with me.
My pleasure.